So I'm happy that we have today Ivan Šupić from Sorbonne University, and he will be talking to us about self-testing with quantum networks. So I'm looking forward to hear more about this. Please, you can begin.
Okay, well, thank you, Philippe, and thanks for the invitation to give a seminar at your Quantum Foundation seminar. So I will tell about one result that is on archive for some months. It's not yet published. We'll see. So it's about self-testing of entangled states and how quantum networks can help us in that task. So I'm just trying to find a way how to. So yeah, it is you could see here the archive identifier, and this is a joint work with four colleagues: Joe Bowles, that now works for Xanadu in Canada; Marc Olivier Renou and Tony Assin, that work in ICFO in Barcelona; and Matti Hoban, that is in Goldsmiths University and Cambridge Quantum Computing Company. So yeah, the title of the paper on archive is "Quantum Networks Self-Test All Quantum States." And well, I give a brief contents of the presentation. So at the beginning, I will talk a bit about nature of verification, and then I'll move to Bell non-locality and its relation and importance to some type of verification. Then I'll go to define what is self-testing and what we know. And then we'll move from self-testing to certifying through quantum teleportation or certifying inside networks. And then we'll see how next with some open questions. But since this is a foundation seminar, I'm not trying to start with a bit of philosophy. So like this is a famous French philosopher René Descartes, who is arguably one of the founders of even modern science or scientific principle, that he asked these famous questions: how can we know that something is there and that we are not deceived by some demon, or I don't know, how can we be sure in anything? And then he made this insight that since he's doubting, then it means that he is, and since he exists, then another thing exists. But important thing and why he's related is that he introduced this concept of Cartesian doubt, that we can actually not be sure if our senses are correct, if we can trust them, and if we can trust the outside world or external world. So this Cartesian doubt is actually very important for both philosophy and science. And the question is actually, can we actually trust our senses? Because we use our senses to make all kinds of measurements every day, and we gain our knowledge through our senses. But the question is, okay, to which degree can we trust our senses? And this was an ongoing philosophical question. And what happens if there is some evil demon who is controlling either our senses or external reality and our interaction with external reality? So this is this concept of Cartesian methodological doubt. And it is somehow important, or it is related to something that many of us do, that is in quantum information technology and quantum information science. We often deal with adversarial scenarios. So usually we have two agents that are Alice and Bob, and they are involved in some kind of cryptographic protocol, and they have this systematic doubt that there is this evil eavesdropper Eve who might be intercepting their communication. So this doubt goes so far that sometimes they do not trust even devices they use, they have in their lab. They think that they might be to some degree corrupted by Eve. And then the question there, like standard question in cryptography, is it possible to make communication secure even if means of communication and knowledge are not trusted? So in classical physics, gaining any knowledge requires perfectly characterized measurements. Information can be copied arbitrarily many times without being disturbed. And in some sense, classical physics cannot really pass this Cartesian doubt test in relation to our adversarial scenarios. What is interesting is that quantum physics actually can work trust-free. So one important ingredient there is a no-cloning theorem. So in quantum physics, information exists as unique, and making copy necessarily destroys the original. And this no cloning, as you know well, is related to the principle of monogamy of quantum correlations. So, but then the question is, how can we see this and how can we exploit this? Well, quantum correlations have indeed a classical footprint that is non-locality of measurement of correlations between measurement outputs that are just the classical labels, let's say. So trusting only such classical labels and abandoning any trust in quantum operations allows us to gain knowledge about quantum properties of the underlying system. And like now I will tell a bit more about this, let's say, classical footprint of quantum correlations that is Bell non-locality. So it starts all with, well, we know, I don't need to go much in history and about Einstein, Podolsky and Rosen, and but the root is this Bell theorem that says that if you have two labs and two observers that could be Alice and Bob, and they could perform different measurements and check how outputs of different measurements are correlated. And Bell theorem tells that local hidden variables, so if there is some local hidden variable that is determining outputs of measurements in spatially separated labs, the strength of measurement correlations between distant parties in all generalized probabilistic theories is bounded if such local hidden variable exists. So to give just mathematical model, such local hidden variable would be lambda, and the causal structure of the experiment imposes the compositions that if you have measurement inputs x and y and outputs a and b, then this local hidden variable model and input for in every local lab would be determining completely the output. So we would have this local decomposition. So, well, probability distributions allowing such local decomposition are forming some type of a polytope. And in other words, like, so all probability distributions that can be locally decomposed, they are inside such a polytope. And that means that they satisfy some inequalities that are determining the hyperplanes that are separating the inside and outside of this local polytope. So in this sense, Bell inequality is functional of probability distribution, and violation of Bell inequality implies that the underlying theory is indeed incompatible with, okay, here I forgot a very important word, local hidden variable models. So not any hidden variable models. So, well, just to give a briefly examples that I guess that everybody is very familiar. So the simplest example is the CHSH inequality, Clauser, Horn, Shimon, and Fold. So it's a simple scenario in which there are two observers. Each measures just two observables, and every observable has two outputs. So Alice's observables are A0 and A1, Bob's are B0 and B1. They share some state row. So then we could define a correlator between observables AX and BY that we can calculate using Born rule, so simple rules of quantum theory. And the CHSH inequality says that these simple functional of correlators that are just functions of linear combinations of probabilities, A0 B0 plus A0 B1 plus A1 B0 minus A1 B1 is less than 2. So this is a local bound, but if Alice and Bob share a maximally entangled pair of qubits, and if they are measuring anti-commuting observables, they could reach the violation of 2 square root of 2 that is higher than 2. And well, this simply tells that quantum theory is incompatible with local hidden variable models. So there are two necessary ingredients for violation of Bell inequality or for Bell non-locality. So it could be seen easily that all separable states lead to locally decomposable probability distributions. So if you want to observe Bell non-locality, the shared state must be entangled. And also, like, the if you look at the measurements performed by each local observer, like, then if they are jointly measurable, they lead to also locally decomposable probability distributions. So the measurements applied by all the parties involved must be incompatible. Okay, so somehow, well, here, since we have these necessary ingredients, we know that if we observe Bell non-locality, that the shared state must have been entangled, then the measurement applied by different parties must have been incompatible or non-jointly measurable. So this leads us to something that we call device-independent paradigm. So Bell violation witnesses, indeed, entanglement and incompatibility. And this witness is based only on the observed probability distribution in general. So we speak theoretically just. How it is done in experiment, it's a bit different, but okay. There is no trust whatsoever in any of the devices used in the experiment. We treat them as completely black boxes. And if we can do this by treating measurement devices and sources as black boxes, then we say that this type of witnessing is device independent. So in some sense, Bell violation of Bell inequality is device independent witness of entanglement. Okay, so now we'll move to the next topic, that is self-testing. So and see how it is related to these things that we talked about. So one way to define self-testing is simply as a reverse Born rule. So in quantum theory, Born rule provides a way to calculate correlation probabilities if we know the states and measurements. So simply this conditional joint probability to obtain A, B given X, Y is given as a trace of measurements acting on a state. And then self-testing aims to find an inverse relation when it is possible. So if you could know the set of these probabilities, if you know the behavior or correlations, how I sometimes call it, we would like to know if we could deduce from that what state was measured to obtain these correlations and what kind of measurements the parties applied. So in some sense, self-testing could be seen as a map between the set of measurement correlations and quantum experiments. So this set, I would call this triple, I would call a quantum experiment. So, and then also like to see a bit more how practically can we relate to what practically could we relate self-testing. Like it could be seen as a route, at least for device independent certification of quantum states. Because as I already say, Bell inequality violation is device independent witness of entanglement and incompatibility. So it's any violation of Bell inequality. But then we wonder if, for example, maximal Bell inequality violation could be device-independent witness of particular quantum state and measurements. So if this happens, so if, for example, instead of having like full correlations, but just maximal Bell violation, and from that I could deduce what was the state and measurements that led to such a maximal Bell inequality violation, well, I say that I'm having a self-testing results. So, and this already indicates at the certification protocol for quantum states and measurements. So if we observe maximal violation, we can know to some degree what is the quantum experiment that led to such violation. So I would just here give a bit of terminology that is commonly used in self-testing. So we usually want to we don't start self-testing by just seeing some correlations and seeing, okay, what state do these correlations correspond to? But we want to show that some correlations correspond to particular state that we have. So, and then that particular state and measurements, we call them reference experiments. So this is ideal experiment involving the specification of the source and measurements that we want to self-test, we want to confirm that we have it in the laboratory. But the one that we have in the laboratory that produces our correlations that we are collecting, we call them physical experiments, so physical state and physical measurements. So the aim is somehow to find the relation between physical and reference experiments. So ideally, we would like to say that they are identical. We'll see that it's not impossible, but they are to some degree equivalent or corresponding to each other. So well, the fact that we have access only to correlation probabilities to some degree hinders our possibility to exactly determine what is what are the state and measurements, because there is some set of transformations of our experiment that we cannot see if we have access only to these correlation probabilities. So that these are the transformations that leave correlation probabilities unchanged, untransformed. So if this would be our experiment that produces our correlations, then I could do coordinated change of basis of the state local of the state and of the measurement. So if I rotate the state a bit to the left and I rotate the measurement also, and I do similar rotation on the other side, this will not change. So this will not change correlation probability. So this corresponds just to local changes of basis of our experiment. And then there is also, so if I do simultaneous complex conjugation of my states and measurements, if they are complex, like this will also lead to unchanged correlation probabilities. So this is just some graphical thing. I'll try to make it more mathematically precise. So, like as I said, like there is local change of basis that if I apply local unitary to my state and I rotate my measurements accordingly, like the such experiment would give the same correlation probabilities as my original experiment. Then one thing that I didn't give on the figure there is that there could be uncorrelated degrees of freedom to which measurements act trivially. So for example, I could have just some, as in experiment, I encode my entanglement in some degrees of freedom, but I have also all the others. And then if my measurements trivially act on those additional baggage degrees of freedom, like it also leads to the same correlation probabilities. So I could, in principle, these two, unlike this complex conjugation, these two local change of basis and uncorrelated degrees, adding uncorrelated degrees of freedom are somehow physical transformation. And I could do these two transformations on and on. So I could change basis, add local degrees, then change basis on full local space and so on. So these transformations, if I do them on and on, they are encompassed by the notation of local isometries. So in principle, like the if I have some state psi and I want to self-test it, I can self-test only the equivalence class of all states that can be obtained from that state by applying these local isometries. So with this simultaneous complex conjugation of states and measurements, as I said, they don't change the correlation probabilities. And then this is not some kind of a transformation we know how to do in the laboratory. So if we say that our reference state that we want to self-test is complex, their complex conjugate will be psi star. And since these states can give rise to the same correlation probabilities, the best we can hope from a local isometry is to bring the physical state to the coherently controlled superposition of my reference state and then its complex or complex conjugated state. And importantly, like it's not the case for bipartite states, but for multipartite states, the state psi and its complex conjugated might not be locally unitary equivalent. So like they might not be transformed to each other by doing just local unitary transformations. So this could be two completely different resources. And somehow in standard self-testing scenario, I can never hope to actually confirm that I could have a state like this, but if it is complex, but I would always end up with not knowing what form it has, because this junk zero and junk one, they could have different weights. So I would not be able to distinguish these two states at all. Okay, so like I will return again to my CHSH inequality. So CHSH Bell inequality is the simplest and the first self-test that we knew. So the maximal violation of the CHSH inequality implies that Alice's and Bob's measurements anti-commute. So I mean there are a few steps to show this. It's not very difficult. And then an anti-commuting pair of operators actually allows us to extract or to define a qubit subspace in our experiment. And then once the qubit subspace is extracted for both Alice and Bob, then we have measurement correlations that are on this qubit subspace. And then we could easily see that the state that these measurements are applied on, it must be maximally entangled. So maximal violation of CHSH inequality is the simplest Bell test and the simplest self-test. And it is this result has been known actually at the end of 90s. There was some result of Werner and then Popescu and Rolich. And so like it's there for quite some time, even before the, let's say, the task of self-testing was defined a bit later. And then, I gave you just some very simple example, but the question is then how far we can go and what are all the things that we could actually self-test. So in the last, 15 years, or so, people were exploring what are all quantum states that we can actually self-test that can leave this device independent mark that identifies them. And then, we had, we know that we can self-test all partially entangled pair of qubits, so pure states. And then the result was all later generalized to all qubit pure bipartite entangled states, so independently of local dimension. And then, one of the first more general results was this one of McCaig that we can self-test all graph states. And then, when it comes to multipartite states, we have results for some subclasses of states that possess some particular symmetry, such as all qubit GHZ states or all BK states. But it remains an open question if we can really subtest all pure entangled states of. It doesn't matter how many parties share the state and what is the what is the local dimension. So somehow, in this result that I showed you, all these solutions that we have for specific classes of states were tailored for specific state of a group of states sharing some particular symmetry. And then we exploit that symmetry to somehow develop the self-test to find the correlations and to show that they are actually self-testing. In principle, it is very difficult to find the general method for all possible entangled states since multipartite entangled states have very complicated structure, and for some bigger number of parties, we are having troubles to have some canonical form, or I don't know. So it's not simple. So there are some ideas towards reaching a general solution for qubit states that would involve the making a lot of measurements per party, but qubit multipartite states in particular remain highly problematic. And for states that have local dimension higher than 2, we actually have very, very, very scarce results. So, okay, just from apart from being this kind of having this interesting aspect of as a reverse Bohn rule, let's say, or some basis for certification of quantum states, I would like just to give one more importance of self-testing that could be interesting for people working more in quantum computing, is that so very important question is in quantum computing is how can we verify that a given machine is actually a quantum computer or that it is quantum machine? So in principle, we could ask it to solve a problem with clear separation between time needed for classical and quantum solution, but there we have just some evidences, and it is difficult to have really a smoking gun that will perfectly convince us that it is quantum. Similar reason holds for if we ask it to do some sampling problem, because we also lack really a proof. But then the interesting thing that we could do that could lead us to undeniable proof is to perform some kind of interactive proof. And at the end, self-testing can be a very useful ingredient for interactive proof. And indeed, it has been used quite a bit until now in interactive proofs for quantum computing and in protocols for delegated quantum computing. So the thing is that if we can self-test a state that is universal for quantum computing, we can clearly prove that computing device is using quantum resources, because there is only that one particular quantum state that it could have used to obtain some correlations. So somehow self-testing can be easily integrated in these kinds of results, and it is very important. Okay, so now I will try to give some outline of our result, because it was of our solution to the question that I asked, that is how far we can go and if we can really self-test all quantum states. So I will make some transition to one scenario that is not fully device independent, but it is semi-device independent, and we call it Bell scenario with quantum inputs. So in principle, in standard device independent scenario or Bell scenario, like we have classical inputs that we send to our parties that are denoting measurement choices of the parties. But then instead of having classical inputs, the parties can receive perfectly characterized quantum input states. So like one party can receive some state from some sets of the states psi x and the other party psi y. And the parties are asked to apply joint measurement on the part of the state they share with the other party and the quantum input. So and in this case, like this probability of AB given psi x psi y will be trace of MA, that is the joint measurement Alice applies on quantum input and her share of common state. And Bob applies measurement MB that is also jointly applied on his share of their state and quantum input. And then now I could just here transform this trace. I just take out these quantum inputs that I know what they are and that are characterized. And I could see that these probabilities are obtained as if I measured this quantum input with some effective measurement operator M tilde. So this M tilde AB is given if I trace out the state that I have the everything that goes to this Hilbert space of AB, and it involves the effect of joint measurements and the state Alice and Bob share. So I just didn't put here a reference, but this paradigm with quantum inputs and its usefulness. It was introduced by Buscemi in, I don't know, some years ago, who wanted to show that somehow every quantum state can be non-local in this sense with quantum inputs. Before I show you how this paradigm can be useful for us for self-testing, like the interesting thing here and why this paradigm is somehow powerful is that if we are sending to our devices classical inputs, so they always simply receive the classical inputs, they know what is the input. But if we are sending quantum states, the different quantum states we are sending might be they might not be distinguishable. So if a device receives some quantum state, like it cannot really from one round always know what it received, while as a verifier, as external, we know what we send. So this gives us somehow some leverage over the system. So I will show then how this Bell scenario with quantum inputs could already help us in a problem of entanglement detection. So as I already said, that violation of Bell inequality is device independent entanglement witness. So only entangled states can violate Bell inequalities, but not all entangled states do violate Bell inequalities. So there are some weakly entangled states which lead to local probability distributions regardless of the type of measurement applied. And then in standard Bell scenario, we can thus have no hope to device independently witness entanglement present in such states. Okay, but then with some collaborators, like we had the ideas of how we could use quantum inputs to solve this problem. So the thing is that if I do tomography, then I could witness any entangled state, right? Now, if I have something that I call measurement device independent tomography, that is this scenario with quantum inputs. If for every party I have access to tomographically complete set of these quantum inputs, and if these quantum inputs are at each lab tomographically complete, that means that I could do the tomography of this operator M tilde that is somehow related to rho, and if rho is entangled, then it could also have some entanglement properties. So in principle, like if I perform just standard Bell state measurements here, like you could see that this effective measurement operator, like if I apply here full Bell state measurements, that they will just teleport the state rho AB to the spaces A prime and B prime, and then I could with these quantum inputs just do tomography of the state, and I could certify entanglement. So, but okay, this is not device independent, and then I could actually like transform this kind of protocol if I have another party. So this is the party where I want to show entanglement, one of the parties. I could make that party share with another party maximally entangled state, and I could do by this other party, I could remotely prepare quantum inputs for the party that needs to witness entanglement. So now all these things that I draw in green, they are trusted. So I'm not in any device independent scenario. But then I could use actually self-testing to self-test this maximum entangled state and measurements applied by this party. And in this way, I could turn whole this process in completely device independent, and I could witness entanglement. So why I mentioned here teleportation assisted is that I could also somehow see this process in different way, that is by applying this Bell state measurement here, like the party that needs to witness entanglement is teleporting its state to this auxiliary party for which I could self-test the measurements. So I could just try to make it more, it's in similar way, but it's clear here. So this would be in standard Bell scenario, like if I want to witness entanglement, I cannot do it all because there are states that are local. Then with quantum inputs, actually, if I have tomographically complete set of quantum inputs, I could witness entanglement for every possible state here. And then here I could just remotely prepare these inputs by two additional parties that could share with my main parties, Alice and Bob, maximally entangled state. And then in the last part, if I make everything non-trusted and I do self-testing of these resources here, I could just use the this idea of self-testing of entanglement verification with quantum inputs and remote state preparation and self-testing to make whole procedure device independent. So it is important that this is already a network, because like I'm witnessing entanglement of this state rho AB by putting it in a network with two more states, and the networks involves like double number of parties than those that I had at the beginning. Okay, so just to, because I didn't explain how I could self-test these additional resources, because in principle I need here to prepare measurements that would be enough to prepare a tomographically complete set of inputs. So I need to self-test tomographically complete set of measurements on these additional parties that act on maximally entangled pairs of qubits. And this I could do with some kind of extended CHSH inequality. So I already said that CHSH inequality can certify two anti-commuting measurements per party. So this would be one CHSH inequality, and it would witness for me that B0 and B1 are anti-commuting if I observe 2√2. But then if I make two more, where I have in the first one, I have figuring B0 and not anymore B1, but some B2, I could get then that B0 and B2 are anti-commuting. And I could make third, in which I would have figuring B1 and B2. And if I observe maximal violation, I would get that B1 and B2 are anti-commuting. And in this case, I'm getting three mutually anti-commuting observables that then I could show that they are isometric to three Pauli observables, that is for qubit, that is for qubit tomographically complete. So this is somehow here a procedure how to self-test these additional resources in my network that can help me to witness entanglement. Okay, and now if this is clear, I could return to my self-testing. And indeed, like, so if I have my quantum inputs, like I showed you just before, I could return that I could see my probability distribution as my correlations as if I measured with this effective measurement, inputs psi x and psi y. And my effective measurement has this form. Okay, so then if rho is pure, if this state that they share is pure and if measurements that they apply are rank one projectors, then this effective measurement MAB will, tilde will be also rank one projectors. And if I have a tomographically complete set of measurements psi x and psi y, I could recover fully the form of my M tilde. And when I recover the form of M tilde, if it is a rank one projector, and if it is entangled, then it allows me to actually recover the state rho. So if state rho was pure and entangled, like these Bell state measurements could just like could just teleport this state psi AB to A prime and B prime. And by having tomographically complete set of inputs, I could recover exactly the form of M tilde that is to up to some local rotations, like corresponds exactly to the form of my underlying state. And well, this is a way how we can do self-testing of any state, that any pure state that Alice and Bob could share. And importantly, it can be in any dimension, because like like MA and MB, like we have generalization for we don't have them just in qubits. We could formulate them for higher dimensions. So somehow this recipe with quantum inputs allows us to basically self-test any entangled state. And I showed here how it works for two parties, but the procedure can be easily extended to any number of parties. And well, now already from the examples of entanglement detection, I could show you how we could use all these ideas to formulate device independent certification of all possible states that we could call self-testing for quantum networks or teleportation assisted self-testing. So in principle, if I have so here, if I have this red thingies, they will be my trusted measurements, and well, these blue thingies will be my particles that are in some untrusted quantum state. And then if I have trusted measurements, and if they are tomographically complete, then from correlation probabilities, I could recover the form of the state. Okay, and now this is simple tomography. And then, like I already showed, how if I have quantum inputs, so now I would have measurements that are blue and untrusted. This would be my joint measurements, and I would have quantum inputs that are trusted that are in red. So I already showed how we could self-test any state by having such a procedure. But then if you do the same trick that we did in entanglement detection, actually like these red quantum input states that are trusted, they could be prepared by applying trusted measurements on maximally entangled states. And importantly, like in this D here, it is shown that like this procedure that I have here, if I have here a trusted measurement and unknown state that is supposed to be maximally entangled, I could self-test it. So this procedure can be made fully device independent. So like here, like I could self-test that there is that I have maximally entangled state and I have tomographically complete set of measurements, and I could do it on all parties. So I have possibility to do that through free CHSH inequalities. So, and then like if these main parties are asked to apply Bell state measurements, in that case they would teleport the state psi to these auxiliary parties, which apply some measurements that we can characterize. So somehow like we can see that we have a transformation of the state psi from A to C, where the state psi is somehow teleported by application of these measurements to these auxiliary parties that can perform a tomographically complete set of measurements, which we can certify in a device independent manner. Okay, so we have in principle for such self-testing scheme, we can have two scenarios. One is that network structure is assumed. So somehow here in my self-testing network, in these examples of tripartite states, I have four different sources. I have sources that are producing these maximally entangled states, and I have the source producing state I want to self-test. And I could assume that they are independent. So that these four states are independent, these sources are independent. And that means that I'm assuming network structure. So, and in this case, like, okay, apart from N parties sharing the state to be self-testing, I could allow that these all other auxiliary parties that they communicate, or they could be simply in one single laboratory. So in that case, I have parties that are sharing the state that I want to self-test. There are N of them, and then there is each of them is sharing each one another state that I want to self-test to be maximally entangled with another auxiliary party. And I want to show that this state is can be self-tested to be identical to the tensor product of maximally entangled pairs and my reference state. And there is a different scenario that is if I don't assume any network structure, and that is that I don't assume independence of all these sources. So in that case, like my it is exactly as it is shown here. So I would have two N parties. So for each, if I have tripartite state, pardon, I would need six parties in total. So apart from N parties sharing the state to be self-tested, there is N auxiliary parties, and I don't assume any structure on the full state that there is there. And well, my aim is the same, to somehow relate this physical state to my reference state that involves like reference state I want to self-test and maximum entangled pair of qubits. Okay, so I could give a proof outlook for both things without really being very technical, but when I don't assume any network structure, I know that my measurements performed by auxiliary parties can be self-tested up to complex conjugation. So this is one thing that we said already at the beginning. All main parties apply Bell state measurements that I don't trust. I will just at the end conclude that they actually indeed had to apply Bell state measurements, but I'm not assuming that. And then when they apply these Bell state measurements, or if you want to say just some joint measurements, the state shared among main parties is sent through a teleportation channel to the auxiliary parties. And then since the measurements of the auxiliary parties are self-tested and tomographically complete, we can do the device independent tomography of the teleported state. So this is somehow how the steps of the proof go. While if I assume the network structure, I again can self-test measurements performed by the auxiliary parties up to complex conjugation. And again, my all main parties apply the non-trusted Bell state measurements. And here, like my proof goes that the auxiliary party prepares quantum inputs for the main parties. And then when each of my main parties have quantum inputs, like I can use our result that if I have quantum inputs, I could self-test any possible state. So it just has somehow like a different methodology of the proof. But then the result is that if I have a network scenario, if I'm assuming the independence of all possible sources, I could show that there is isometry that is bringing my physical state to either my reference state or its complex conjugate. So it is not like at the beginning when I said that it could be any coherently controlled superposition of them, but here, because there is a network structure, I could know that it is one or the other, but I would not know which one of them is present. And if I have what I call multipartite scenario where I'm not assuming independence of sources, then I just achieve my standard self-testing scenario where I could have that there is a geometry that is leading my state to some coherently controlled superposition of the reference state and its complex conjugate with some weights that are for me that I'm agnostic about. Okay, so well, all the things that I showed was given for qubits, and then the question is if the local dimension of the reference state is bigger than 2, what happens? So well, in that case, we can always embed the state into a Hilbert space of local dimension 2 to 2 to the m, where m is log log two of D, which can be seen as a state of m qubits, so tensor product of m qubit states. And then the whole procedure given for qubits can be mapped to the situation with qubits if we can self-test a tomographically complete set of measurements on a maximal entangled state of dimensions to the m. So to achieve this, we use the method of parallel self-testing. And now I would not talk about that, but there is a lot of results about that. And we have results that we can indeed achieve this thing, that we can self-test a tomographically complete set of measurements on a maximal entangled state of dimension 2 to the m. So, and then when I know how to do that thing, I could just translate everything that I said for qubits for situation beyond qubits or for the state of higher local dimension. Okay, so with some open questions, one that remains is that it is still the question if we can self-test all states in the standard Bell scenario, because in my scenario, I'm adding like more parties, at least one more or double number of parties, depending if I'm assuming network structure or not. So somehow the question if we can self-test any state in the standard Bell scenario that where state is shared among number of parties, if two-partite state is shared between two parties, and if n-partite state is shared among only n parties, not more, we still don't know that question. And procedure that we gave, we want to see how experimentally feasible it could be for some simpler states, because it requires to have application of full Bell state measurements and having like a lot of very high quality maximally entangled states. So it's a question like actually how robust to different types of noise and imperfection our scheme is, but for now it is mostly a proof of principle that actually any pure multipartite entangled state could give us a device independent trace that we could then follow back to the state. So this is all I wanted to say. So I don't know if you have some questions or remarks. I'm happy to answer.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the talk. Was very interesting. Do we have some questions? I think, I'm not sure I can ask it in a good way, but do you know, you said at the beginning that this could be used for certifying quantum computation. Mm-hmm. And then now you on this slide that we see there's still a lot of open questions about experimental feasibility, but do you have an idea of how the scaling of this thing would work with the number of qubits? Would it be a realistic number of measurements in the self-testing protocol as a function of the number of qubits in the computer?
What is good for this scheme and better in some other that we could try and hope to get some kind of self-test for them is that here, the number of measurements that are applied per party depends only on local dimension. So if you have qubits, you would need to apply, I don't know, it depends which party you are, but 3 or 6, let's say, or 7 at most, but it is constant for let's say for qubits. So if the state is bigger, that doesn't mean that that number of measurements per locally needs to be increased. But then still, if you have a lot of parties and then every one of them has to apply some number of measurements, that becomes a lot. But it's theoretically it is constant. It doesn't depend on the size of the state. It depends on the local dimension.
Okay. Nice, yeah, and I guess there would be a version of this with where the physical states are mixed states, right? And where you have some kind of error that you can guarantee, you can self-test up to some norm or something like this. Does this exist? Or I'm not familiar with the field, but.
Sorry, can you repeat? Because I had a trouble.
Like, is it possible sometimes, I don't know in your setting, but maybe in the simplest case, like you have this idea of the state you want to self-test and then the state, physical state from which your probabilities are extracted. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you want to self-test the pure state, but probably the real state you're making is like, you know, close to this, but mixed. What can you say in situations like this? Is there something that can be said?
Well, this is a question that is related to robot self-testing. So I didn't talk about this because there are a lot of things I wanted to say. But then, in principle, like, well, I said that, for example, to self-test maximum entangled pair of qubits, you need CHSH relation of 2 square root of 2. Well, of course, you will never you can never hope in a laboratory to have actually 2 square root of 2. So there are results that are showing that if you have something that is close to 2 square root of 2, some 2 square root of 2 minus epsilon, then the underlying state up to localized geometry is to some degree close to maximum entangled pair of qubits. So it could be, and it is probably mixed state or whatever, but you could somehow establish some closeness to your target state. So.
Okay, great, yeah.
So the thing is that, I don't know, like at some points when I was writing the proofs, I you might have seen that I was writing the pure state, but that doesn't mean that I'm assuming that my physical state is pure. Like there, I'm just somehow using purification of the state when I write things, because that allows me more easily to somehow get my proofs and to go through the things. But it's important to know that, well, when I'm doing all these things, I keep purification somehow unaccessible. So I'm not using it in my proof or anything. I just it just makes the equations nicer, and especially when they are written for in a presentation, like it's a matter of elegance at that point. But the important thing is that we are never assuming that the physical state is pure, because that would be very incompatible with device independence. So it would be a super strong assumption.
Okay, yeah, great. Thanks for the answer. Ellie, you can ask a question.
Thanks, this was really interesting. I guess I wanted to just ask for clarification of two things. One is, in the beginning you talked about chiral states, those which sort of are not locally equivalent under local unitaries to their complex conjugate. So in standard Bell experiments, which are everything is device independent, there's no way of distinguishing these two states. And so we say like a chiral state, if we need to like redefine self-testing to talk about like if a chiral state can be self-tested. Is that caveat still true in your network? Because if you have the ability to steer to any state, and so the sort of the first part of the protocol is that you know that sort of the edge parties are steering particular input states. Now, can you perhaps distinguish these two versions of a chiral state? Can you actually show that it is one entirely and not the other?
No. So in principle, well, when these edge parties, let's say they steer these inputs, well, I will also not know if they steer the, let's say, if I want to prepare eigenstate of sigma y, I will not know which one of them is there, right? So then at the end, like if I assume network structure, then I will know only that I have one of them, but I will not know which one of them. So that is still a bit different than because in standard self-testing scenario, it could be some kind of coherently controlled superposition of these two states. And I cannot rule out any, so this norm of this junk zero and junk one is somehow telling me I didn't put the coefficients. But if I assume net independence of these sources, that for you is probably, I mean, you could guess why this happened because you have your paper with complex numbers. So like I could somehow know that it is either one or the other, but I cannot really know which one. But I know that it is not, it cannot be some linear combination. It will be, I just somehow
okay. Yeah, I think I understand. And the other question I had is, does this also open up the possibility of self-testing entangled measurements? So instead of trying to self-test an entangled state, again, can you sort of recycle the sort of pseudo-tomography by steering to now self-test an entangled measurement?
Well, it's a good question. I guess it could be done. So because for now people were doing making protocols for self-testing Bell state measurements, but not something more complicated. But I guess that that some similar idea could work there. I mean, this idea of using quantum inputs and then making it device independent through this procedure of adding parties, it's very potent to be used for a lot of things. So I cannot say you immediately now how it would be done for measurements, but I think that it's likely that it could lead to such a result.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Do we have any other questions? Okay. Well. Okay. Well, let's thank Ivan again. It was a very nice talk. So I enjoyed it. Yeah, have a good weekend and a good evening.
You too. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye.